evening. We'll start this evening with To Canaan's Land, I'm On My Way. We'll sing the first, second, and fourth verses. Before opening prayer, we'll sing Sing and Be Happy. If the skies above you are gray, you are in the blue. If your cares and burdens seem gray all the day through, there's a silver line that shines in the heavenly land. Trust in his promises.
Before we pray, Tim made it known that Judith's sister, she had came to him right before services, said her sister had an aneurysm, and they're still trying to assess everything. So I'm going to be mentioning that in my prayer. So let's go to God in prayer at this time. Father, we come to you tonight, thanking you and praise you for the opportunity to meet again. We come to you tonight asking for prayer and healing for Judith's sister Crystal, as they're just finding this out and they're starting to work things out. Be with her. Let your hands be with the physicians that are working with her, so that they may find out some answers and answer the questions, and there may be a positive outcome out of this. I pray for my friend Mike, who had a stroke. We pray that this week that the testing finds out something and they get some kind of clarification. There's so many people around us right now who have had to deal with loss of life, loss of property, loss of their livelihood with their businesses and farms. Let us know that we can come to you in these troubling times to look for wisdom and look for comfort, and to know that your will be done, and we can look to you for help and anything we need with that. Be with all these people in our area, and be with us, Lord. Help us to keep a positive attitude and to keep others in mind. Just pray for our neighbors. And we come to you with that. Forgive us of our sins and help us to be better people. In Jesus' name, amen.
Before our scripture reading, we'll sing the first, second, and fourth verses of Send the Light.
Send the light.
you're using your hymn books and would like to mark the song of encouragement, it'll be page 945. Page 945.
Our scripture this evening comes from Mark chapter 10, verses 13 through 16. Mark 10, 13 through 16. There is no Bible story time tonight. Mark 10, 13 through 16. And they were bringing children to him that he might touch them, and the disciples rebuked them. But when Jesus saw it, he was indignant and said to them, "Let the children come to me. Do not hinder them, for to such belongs the kingdom of heaven. Truly I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child shall not enter it." And he took them in his arms and blessed them, laying his hands on them.
Good evening. How's everyone doing tonight? Blessed. I like it. That's good. I like it. Beautiful weather we've had out there today, and I hope that you've gotten to enjoy some of it. Before we begin, I want to acknowledge two things. Number one, the idea for this lesson is not my own. It comes from our theme this year over at Providence. And so I kind of built off of that theme for this lesson. And the second thing I want to acknowledge is that a point and the illustration that you're about to hear, the story, was brought to my attention by the elementary principal, Dr. Dustin Williams. And I loved the story that he brought up, and I thought it did such a good job of illustrating this main point. So the question is, how much land does a man need? Now, this was a short story written by Leo Tolstoy. And again, the question, how much land does a man need? The story begins with Pahom, and if I mispronounce any of these words, I apologize, but the gentleman's name is Pahom, and Pahom had a little bit of land. He was finally able to buy this little bit of land, and he started running into some problems. You see, his neighbors, they would sometimes, their animals would get loose and they'd get onto his property and they'd mess up his crops, they'd mess up some parts of his land. And so he started getting pretty angry about this, pretty frustrated, right? Because it kept happening over and over and over again. So finally, he started fining them and taking people to court because he was getting frustrated with all the issues that he had with his land. Well, long story short, the people started moving out of the area. And Pahom started thinking, you know what, I need more land. This just, the land that I have isn't enough, it doesn't do it for me, so I want to go out and I want to buy some more land. So he finds some acreage, he finds 125 acres. Now, not all of it's together, but he was able to set up a plot for, you know, a son over here and a daughter over here, and there was also some communal property. Well, after a period of time, his family, himself, his servants, all that kind of stuff. Pahom started thinking, you know, there really isn't enough land here for me. I've heard about some better land, some more land that I can purchase, because I'm just starting to feel a little cramped in this little acreage that I have. So he hears about this incredible deal. And he finds this person who's willing to sell him 1,300 acres for 1,500 rubles. And he goes, okay, this is it. I've got to sell all that I have so I can get this, purchase this land, then I'll be happy, right? He saves up a little bit for it. And him and the seller were pretty much in agreement, just had to write the paperwork out, and it was a done deal. Well, the night before that paperwork was about to be done, this traveler comes through. And he's talking to this traveler, and the traveler tells him about this other deal. This other deal, this guy was able to buy for 1,000 rubles, he was able to purchase 13,000 acres of land. And Pahom's eyes get wide. He thinks, now this is the deal I've been waiting for. Why would I spend 1,500 rubles on 1,300 acres when I can spend less money on more land? And so he says, what do I have to do to get this land? And so the guy tells him, you can't just go directly to the chief and talk to him. Here's what you got to do, right? And he gives him the step-by-step instructions. Well, Pahom does that. And he goes out, and after going through all these steps, he finally has an audience with the chief of this village where he can purchase this land. And so it's finally settled, and the chief goes, you know, let's do this deal, 1,000 rubles a day, and the land is all yours. And Pahom goes, now wait a second, what do you mean 1,000 rubles a day? And the chief goes, oh, let me explain. We don't just give you a certain amount of land. What we do is, the day that you decide, from the time the sun starts to rise until the sun set, whatever land you walk and you dig a hole and you put your marker in, whatever land you do that with, however much land that is, you get to keep. You get one day and you get as much land as you can walk. And Pahom, oh, he was beside himself, right? He goes, I can walk 35 miles in a day if I really try. That night, he could barely sleep. But the next day, he gets ready. Him and his servant, they go out to where they're supposed to meet the chief. Pahom's there. He's got his shovel. He's got his markers. He's got his coat. He's got his food. He's got his water. The servant's there. The chief shows up, the villagers. And the chief says, good luck. So Pahom starts out. And everything's going pretty well. He's walking all his distances. Occasionally he'll pop the shovel in the ground, put a marker, and he's feeling pretty good about it. About lunchtime comes around. He takes a break and he thinks to himself, should I rest a little bit? He's like, no. I got to keep going because if I'm not back by sundown, by sunset, I don't get any land. So I've got to get back on time, right? So he takes just a short break, and he keeps going. And he thinks to himself along the way, he goes, you know, I don't really want my land to be crooked. I'm just going to go out just a little bit further this way because I want it to be nice land. I want it to be nice and symmetrical and all that, right? Well, as he's going along a little bit further, as he's going along, he has a pretty good route, and then he thinks, oh, that land over there looks pretty good too. I'm just going to go just a little bit further. Well, time started getting away from Pahom. And he started recognizing, oh, it's getting later in the day than I thought it was. And before he realized it, it was starting to get a little bit darker and a little bit darker. And so he starts making his way back to where the chief and the villagers and his servant are setting up on the hill where he started at. And after a little while, he picks up the pace even further. He starts dropping his coat. He starts dropping his markers, and he's just trying to get back, because if he doesn't get back in time, he's going to get no land at all. But he's made his marks. And so he's getting closer. He starts seeing the chief and the villagers up on the hill, and he looks behind him, and the sun has set. But he looks up, and he sees the chief and the villagers and his servant, and they're still cheering him on. Go, Pahom, go! He's like, the sun's already set. And then he realizes, from my perspective, the sun is set, but from theirs, it's still up. So he takes off running, and he gets to the top of the hill, and he falls forward, and he lays himself at the feet of the chief, and everybody cheers, and they say, Pahom, you are a great man. You've gotten a lot of land. And his servant goes over to check on him, and his servant picks him up, and there's blood coming out of Pahom's mouth. And Pahom's dead. And so a servant takes Pahom's shovel and he digs him a grave. And Leo Tolstoy ends the story with this. How much land does a man need? From his head to his heel, about 6 feet. Now, what was Pahom's problem? Was it the land? No. Was it greed? No. Was it money? No. You see, I think Pahom had the same problem that many of us do today. I think it's the same problem that dads and moms have that aren't involved in their children's lives. When there's that baseball game or some extracurricular activity and mom and dad are just too busy to go. I think it's the same problem that leads to many divorces. I think it's the same problem that we all struggle with. It's the same problem that leads to people being objectified and taken advantage of. So what's the problem? Well, let's look at another story. Turn over, if you will, to Mark chapter 10, verse 17 through 22. And as you're turning over there, we've already looked at the passage right before it, right? And Jesus says that the kingdom of heaven belongs to whom? Who does the kingdom of heaven belong to? Children. The children, right? Now, I want to read what Craig Evans says here about this passage. He says, "The child is not being idealized, as is often thought in the Western world, for the child was not held in high regard in late antiquity. Rather, Jesus' point is that one should accept the kingdom and be obedient to its summons in the same way that children will, without question, obey adults and do what they're told. To receive the kingdom of God is to submit to the authority of God's rule. Adults, assumed to possess power and authority of their own, will not be able to enter the kingdom, for their own authority will clash with that of God's. For this reason, the person who wishes to receive the kingdom must receive it as a child does, that is, without presumption of self-importance and self-empowerment." And so with that context in mind, the children go up to Jesus. He says you should receive the kingdom as one of these. And who is the very next person that Jesus runs into? Well, let's see. "As he was setting out on his journey, a man ran up and knelt before him and asked him, 'Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?' And Jesus said to him, 'Why do you call me good? No one is good except God alone. You know the commandments: do not murder, do not commit adultery, do not steal, do not bear false witness, do not defraud, honor your father and your mother.' And this rich young ruler, he says, 'Teacher, all of these I've kept from my youth.' And Jesus, looking at him, loved him and said this: 'You lack one thing. Sell all that you have, give it to the poor, you will have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me.' Disheartened by the saying, this rich young ruler went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions." Tim Keller brought up an idea that I had never heard of before and I never thought of. But as soon as I heard it, man, my wheel started spinning, and I hope yours do too. He said, in this passage, there's not just one rich young ruler. There's two. Who's the other one? It's Jesus. Jesus is the rich young ruler, right? He's the King of Kings. And what this King of Kings is doing, what this other rich young ruler is inviting the other rich young ruler to do, is to give up what little he has so that he can gain everything. Everything. When you look at what you have, you might think about, you have a house. You have a warm home to sleep in. Does anybody have an empty fridge? Or is the problem that we open it up and we go, "Oh, I don't really want to make something today." Right? That's too much work. The problem is we've got too much. We've got options. We've got cars. Which car do we want to take to worship today? Who else has that problem? Other rich young rulers, don't we? So what was the rich young ruler's problem? Was it the stuff? Well, let's look at another passage. This is in Philippians chapter 2. Let's look at that together. We talked about part of the issue being power, right? Receive the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven, like a child. Part of it's a power struggle. So where did Jesus get his power from? Well, Paul tells us this, starting in verse 5. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be held on to. But he emptied himself, taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. So we asked a question earlier, what was the rich young ruler's problem? What was it that Jesus had figured out that he didn't? Well, let me tell you about one more person, one more story. And this young man, if you think of any sin out there, he pretty much did. He was a thief. He lusted. Sexually immoral. By the age of 17, he had a child out of wedlock. Now, I want you to think, if that were your son or a church member here, right, somebody in the youth group, would you give him really much hope? In fact, they even grew up in a Christian home, and yet they still turned out this way. What would you tell that young man their main problem was? Well, you got to stop. You got to stop stealing. You got to stop being sexually immoral. Is that the real problem? Well, this young man went on to teach rhetoric, and one day he was in Milan, and he heard that Ambrose was going to be preaching. And so, being teacher of rhetoric, he's heard some good things about Ambrose's rhetoric style, and so he goes out and he listens to him preach. And then afterward, he's in the garden sitting by himself, and this child comes by and starts saying, pick up the book and read, pick up the book and read. And this man, he had never heard of a song that had that those kind of lyrics in it. And he had never heard of a game that was played like that. And so he said, is this God telling me to pick up the Bible and to read it? So that's what he did. He popped open the Bible and he said, I'm just going to read the very first passage that I see. And you know what passage he opened up to? Romans 13, starting in verse 13. We're going to look at that real quick. Romans 13, starting in verse 13. These are the two verses that he read. Let us walk properly as in the daytime, not in orgies and drunkenness, not in sexual immorality and sensuality, not in quarreling and jealousy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to gratify its desires. This man said that when he read that passage, there was like a light that opened up in his heart. And he was baptized. This man became known as Saint Augustine. And he wrote these words. He says, you, Lord, have made us for yourself, and our hearts are restless until they rest in you. He went on to argue for this idea of ordo amoris, or that is, properly ordered love. And the idea is one that you're familiar with, right? What are the two greatest commandments? Love God and love your neighbor as yourself, right? And so he says that it is this right order of love that is vital to a person's health, because when our love is disordered, that is, we love material goods, we love stuff, we love money, or even certain individuals more than we love God, that's when we become sick. He said that's when we become physically and spiritually ill, because our love is disordered. That's not how we're created. We're created to love in the right order. So I want us to think. When Jesus came to this earth to give himself up, who was he loving in that moment? Was he loving God? Absolutely. He loved his Father to the point of being obedient, even death on a cross. Was he loving his neighbor? He was loving you, and he was loving me, and he was loving that rich young ruler by coming here and doing what he had to in order for us to be saved. So, I'm going to offer you a challenge. I want us to do a love inventory check. What are you chasing? What are you chasing? What are your goals? Are your goals simply to save up for retirement, build bigger barns, and then rest in your retirement? We know how that story ends, don't we? What takes up the majority of your time? One of the hardest things to look at is screen time on a phone, right? When that pops up on your phone and it says, you've spent X number of hours in front of me this week on average. This is up 10% from last week. And you're like, oh, this is not good. What if we went ahead and popped up everyone's internet history up on the board? Would we be happy? What would it say about what we love? What if it showed all the videos that we've watched on YouTube? Would that maybe indicate about what we love? What if we put our daily itinerary up there on the projector? What would that indicate about we love? Because you know what we do with the things and the people that we love? We spend time with them, don't we? So, here's what I want you to do. I want you to think about that one thing or that one person that you really care for, that you really love, and to see if our hearts are ordered correctly. What if Jesus walked up to you tonight and he said, Greg, I want you to walk away from that and I want you to follow me. Would I be able to do that? What if he walked up to you, that person you love, that thing that you care for, that thing that you've been spending all your time on recently, and he walked up to you and he said, leave it behind. Come and follow me. Would you be able to do that? You see, here's the thing. Loose living was not Augustine's real problem, was it? It was ordo amoris. The rich young ruler's problem, it wasn't power, really. That's not the real problem. It wasn't money. It wasn't stuff. It was what? Ordo amoris. It was disordered love. It was not having his love in the right order. Pahom's real problem wasn't land. It wasn't greed. It wasn't money. It was ordo amoris. It's about having our loves ordered the way that God designed us. And when we do that, we will find our contentment in Him. Because that's how we're made. So how is your love order tonight? Do you love your God enough to walk away from whatever it is that He's calling you to walk away from? Do you love your neighbor to sacrifice time, money, whatever it might be, because you love them, because you love God? Tonight, if your love is disordered, let's get it taken care of. Let's make sure that we're loving God with all of our being, our neighbors, ourselves. And when we do that, we will find true happiness. And so tonight, if you've not put God first and you've not put on Christ in baptism, let's take care of it. He loved you enough. Are you willing to love Him back? Dying to self, being raised to a new life through baptism. And maybe you've just struggled. Maybe there's things that have been getting in the way. Maybe it is land. Maybe it's retirement. Maybe it's money. Maybe it's stuff. Maybe it's people that you've been loving more than God. Let's get it taken care of. Let's confess sin. Let's ask for prayers to the church. Let's get it taken care of tonight before we leave here as we stand and as we sing.
Kneel at the cross, Christ.
Please be seated. As we prepare our minds to offer the Lord's Supper again, we'll sing When I Survey the Wondrous Cross, the first and third verses.
Thank you.
If you are in need of a communion kit, Brother Lutterman is available for you. If you'll just raise your hand, he'll be glad to bring it to you. Have you ever noticed the phrase right here on the front of this table? It's been a little while since COVID. We used to put the emblems for communion right there, center stage. And on that table right there, it says, "This do in remembrance of me." Things have changed a little bit from COVID. That's an obvious thing. But there's some things that haven't changed. Let's look at what the Lord says in terms of this. I'm going to be reading from 1 Corinthians. I'll be reading from chapter 11, and I'm going to be reading verses 23 and 25 through 25. This is from the King James Version. "For I have received of the Lord that which I have delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, that same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me.' After the same manner, he took the cup, and when he had supped, saying, 'The cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye, oft as you drink it, in remembrance of me.'" Once again, this hasn't changed. But why, Lord? But why, Lord? 1 John chapter 2. Verses 1 through 3. "My little children, these things write I unto you, that you sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. He is a propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but for the sins of the whole world." Not just for my sin, not just for your sin, not for people who are listening to us online, the whole world. I have no comprehension of the weight of that. Would you bow with me as we go to God in prayer? Holy Father, thank you so much for this opportunity to participate in this communion. Help us to always remember the sacrifice of your Son, not just now, but several times during the day. We ask that our action of eating of this bread honors you and the sacrifice that was given for us. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you bow with me again? Lord, the shedding of your Son's blood on the cross for us . It's just overwhelming. The example of blood for us that washes our sins away, and the fact that he died for all of the sins of the whole world. Yes, this shedding of your Son's blood for all the world is difficult for us to understand, yet he did that. Your love is beyond measure. Father, just help us to be grateful. And as we drink of this cup, help us to honor that sacrifice with our participation. In Jesus' name, amen. As you're aware, this is a convenient time for us to give thanks for the things that we can do to contribute to the work of the church. But I think it's more than that. So I ask you to think about what I'm about to say. Think about the plan that you have in your minds for this week, things that you can do, things that you can use your resources for to honor the Lord. Would you bow with me for the final prayer? Father, you have blessed each one of us more than sometimes we are aware, more than sometimes we can even comprehend. Help us to be champions in the management of the things that you have given us control over. We know that you have the ultimate control, but you've given us opportunities to control some things here. Help us to make great decisions every day, Lord. We know that we have opportunities to make decisions. Help us to make the best ones and ones that you would approve of. Thank you for all the facets of our lives that you give us some control over. Help us to be great stewards of what we've been blessed with. In Jesus' name, amen.
Let's go to our Father in prayer. Heavenly Father, we come before you now. We thank you for this day that you have given to us. Thank you for being a wonderful Lord's Day. Father, be with us as we go into this next week, Father, into these communities that have been affected, Father. Let us to show your light and show your love to those that are in need. Let us redeem the time wisely, Father, to better serve you. Father, be with those that are sick and suffering, Father, and place your hand on them. And Father, we ask that you give us wisdom and give us direction. Father, we love you, and we know that you love us. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Are there any other announcements? I've not been made aware of any. Check your daily focus. A lot of information coming out the next few days. If there's no other announcements, you're dismissed.